My name is Bugsy, and I'm an alcoholic. And that's the alias I came up with to log into secular meetings. Because 3 years ago, when all this started, I decided that, well, I just long story short, I decided me and my sponsor were a little bit through. And I'm a little bit nervous, but my sponsor is a very, I think, I was very lucky to meet the person I had as a sponsor because we worked the steps together. But before I talk about us working the steps together, I have to talk about how I got here in the first place. So it's just me going back and further back. Maybe I'll have to go even back more beyond that point of me entering recovery. So I'll just start talking about where it all started. So when I was six, for some reason, when I was six, I had this nasty habit of shoving marbles up my nose and then being taken to the emergency room. So I've always had an addictive personality. And I've always been a little bit weird for reasons that are not necessarily related to recovery. But I grew up in a very hostile environment. And I grew up with two older brothers and an older sister. And as the years passed by and I started growing up, I continued my development. I learned that, yeah, that's definitely not me sharing in the chat. Don't press that link. I learned that, my father came up from a military background, and my oldest brother had to handle it all out on his own for most of his life. I think up until he was 14 or 15, he was an only child. And then my sister arrived. So my oldest brother was also a fatherly figure to us, but he was also very traumatized. And the thing about growing up with a father figure from a military background is that they have a lot of unsolved trauma. So it's not the unsolved trauma, but necessarily trauma that they didn't deal with. So that means having to grow up, besides having to grow up in a hostile environment, that also means having to grow up with a lot of abuse around me. And the years went by. The kind of games that I played with my older brother was pretty much being thrown down the stairs for fun. And I laugh about it because it kind of sucks. Like if you tell someone they were thrown that someone tells you that they were thrown down the stairs, you only think of very bad images, but that's actually how we grew up playing, And fast forward a couple of years, I was in a car accident with my mom on my way to school with my mom and my brother and my sister. And this is gonna be an important part of the story later on, where I talk about what my life is like right now. So nothing happened that day, everyone. It was just a dumb accident driving down an underground passage. And the car in front of us decided to decided to pull an emergency brake for virtually no reason. Like people were stopping in front of him, but he decided to brake immediately without without any turning on any lights or anything. So we crashed into his bumper, and then the person behind us crashed into us. And you know, thankfully nothing happened. Nothing really happened to us. It was just a bit of a fender bender. So whatever, we just got to school that day. So when that happened, we moved to another neighborhood where it's a different neighborhood where I grew up, where I grew up, and the thing is that it means a lot to me because fast forward a few more years, and you know, only thing that this damn neighborhood reminds me of is the brother that was born before me. He passed away. And he was a big gym aficionado, and he was my role model, and he was my partner in crime, because we did most of the stuff we did growing up. Most of the stuff I learned about life, I learned it from him. And like, I got into trouble with anyone, and he was there for me. He was taking care of me, and he was teaching me how to act right and how to do things right and how to be kind to people and whatnot. And that's weird, because I forgot to mention this, but I grew up with some musculoskeletal issues, a disorder, basically congenital disorder in my bones, my legs, and I was always sort of this, I needed special care growing up. From when I was born, I had a surgery when I was 2 months old, and then I had another one 3 years later, and I always needed this special attention in order to, you know, be able to live, be able to grow and develop, and so that also developed into me being a little bit sort of egotistical, I guess, or like, you know, having these dark intentions, or like this like perceived things differently and didn't see the good in things, and sort of like, I don't really know how to explain it, but my brother, he always taught me sort of how to, like, where the light was and how to, you know, act through light instead of, you know, being an asshole to everyone. And, you know, he passed, and I still love him, and I still cherish his soul, and I celebrated by, instead of acting through the darkness, which I know I always think about it from his perspective, you know, and I know it sounds dumb because we're in a secular meeting, and this whole his will, you know, it sounds a little bit religious, but I think about it like in a form of spirit, because I still think the spirit lives on and lives through me. So why is that important, you may ask? Because when I was 14, around 12 or 14 is when this happened. My brother passed away. And you remember that older brother I was telling you about? None of us knew why he passed away, but there was a lot of, we lived in an extremely hostile environment. There was a lot of abuse going on around us. And he was hidden, like he was drinking a lot of stuff, supplements, you know, we don't really know if he was into substance abuse or like he just got a food allergy and his heart stopped working. There's a lot of stuff that came into play, but we never really figured out why. But when I was 12, when I was 13, my only, you know, like my closest friend died, and people around me started dying. People, my grandfather died. My uncle fucking took his own life. which never made sense to me. And kind of drastic things started happening around me, and I was only 13. And I'd already gone through a lot. I'd gone through these major invasive surgeries. You know, things started changing way too fast and way too strong for more than I could even handle. And, you know, when I was 14, people were drinking and I wanted to learn how to drink. And I started drinking for a year or two. And then I watched this TV show on the internet. It was called Skins. And I saw teenagers doing drugs and stuff and going out partying and smoking the devil's lettuce. And that I thought, damn, these people are having a blast. And they were going to parties and engaging in you know, relations. And I thought, like, that was like I remember that was my only, like, my only console to my, like, that was my light at the end of the tunnel, because all of this stuff I had to learn when I joined the program, I didn't know back then. So I really had no intention to keep on living. I had no desire at all. When I saw these people having fun through the use of mind-altering substances, then I thought, maybe liquor is not the only fun thing there is out there. Maybe I have to try to engage in these other activities that seem so fun. And I started going out to these, I remember these Halloween parties, and people were, after drinking for a while, they were going outside and they were smoking something that I was smoking cigarettes with them, but they were smoking something else. And I was curious about it. And I was very curious. I had a very curious mind, and I began asking around, and eventually, you know, I started smoking, started drinking a lot more. I started learning how to control my drinking, you know, which is so important, in order not to get messed up and be able to do the stuff that was considered fun at the time. And then I started drinking too much, and I started smoking too much, and I started doing other substances too much, which were really bad for me and started messing with my brain. And it only took 4 years before I tried pretty much everything I could get my hands on. So by 18, I was a fucking veteran, you know? And drinking is not at all like demonized here. So drinking, like, by the time you're 12 or 14, it's just like completely normal. It's like, you haven't taken a drink. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? So by the time I was 18, fast forwarding all this, because it's just honestly fucking horrible years. 4 horrible fucking years filled with darkness and solitude and depression and angst. And when I was 14, I wanted to die. When I was 15 and I started doing drugs, I was in the prime of my life because I didn't want to die. And I was so sedated by all these substances, and I forgot about the pain. But when I was 16, and I'd already gotten to know it, 17, and it was already getting old, and 18, and fuck, you know, what else is there? So, you know, it was tough. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. I had a lot of fun when I was, you know, I did have some pretty cool experiences with some friends. I formed some relationships I hope to keep for the rest of my life. Some of which are not necessarily good for me, but whatever. At 19, I started losing the reins of my life. I dropped out. I finished school by mere chance. And, you know, I completely lost control. And People were trying to help. I remember one of the final experiences which led me into a recovery program or being institutionalized or whatever you want to call it is I fucking hell. I fell out of a second floor on my back and hit my head. And then like a week later, I decided to go out and eat some mushrooms and smoke salvia. Oh fuck. And fucking hitting your head falling from a second floor is not good. Then doing whatever stupid stuff and shoes. I'm pretty glad, pretty proud of myself because I went to my friend, we came back. She brought me back home and then they took me to the ER to check my vitals and stuff. And I don't know how I survived that. Maybe because I was so high on so many drugs and so drunk that my body didn't create so many concussions. Or like you fall down from a second floor on your head, you probably should be dead, you know? And I'm still here, and for some reason, nothing happened, I think. And like I do have some spinal injuries. I did need some trauma recovery because I did have a minor brain injury where like the left part of my brain wasn't working correctly, maybe because of all the drugs I was doing, or maybe because I hit. Yeah, and we were trying to figure that out. I was drinking this thing called Somazine. It's a nootropic brain enhancement. I don't know if it's a drug or a supplement, but thing basically helps you restructure some neural pathways in your brain. And that reminds me, by the way, when I was 14 and I started going to psychiatrists to get legal drugs, which was not a very good decision. Mixed out with liquor, it's even a worse one. So, I almost died a few times just by drinking too much and being a dumbass and thinking I was sort of this special snowflake who could do drugs and be the outlier of like everyone getting high, like Ozzy Osbourne doing a bunch of drugs and then just ending up criminally insane. Whatever. Like I was gonna do all this stuff and nothing was gonna happen to me because I was high and mighty, and these drugs, they were helping my brain develop better. Whatever the hell was going on through my mind at the time. Yeah, that usually happens when you mess with these concentration drugs. They end up making you believe this lie of like superiority over people, and especially when you grew up in a hostile environment and were already a bit narcissistic. Me, by all means, it's myself who I'm talking about. And yeah, I still kept doing drugs for another year. Even though I was keeping it green, I was being organic. And I was not drinking that often because it messed with my high. And when I did drink, though, I only drank the hard stuff, which was not great for my liver. So, kept that going for another year. Met a girl, fell in love, was a horrible influence to her. She found someone else that was not a druggy loser. And that was one of the things that made me see I needed to change, but I didn't. So I got institutionalized. I went through a mental institution for a few weeks. I got detoxed, and then I got into rehab. Yay! Let me take a sip of this coffee. And okay, so that happened. I was in rehab for 6 months in-house program, and then a few months just making sure I attended my meetings and had proper counseling for a while. That was really good. I'm so unimaginably glad that happened. People forced me into that situation because everyone kept telling me I had a problem with drugs, but I didn't have, everyone else had a problem with me. How could I have a problem with drugs? Drugs are so magnificent. And they helped me restore my calm and my serenity and my times of solitude, which were definitely not egomaniacally driven. It was because of my special and unique abilities that I needed to do all these drugs. And that didn't work. Recovery did. And my wonderful sponsor, who I met 1 year into the program, yo, he basically got fucking took me in. I had a horrible sponsor before him. And this guy was trying to tell me about how before I was born, I talked to God and I chose to pick my abusive parents because I knew I was gonna be able to handle it from a soul spirit viewpoint. Fucking. Yeah, so through this program, through my next sponsor, I learned how to forgive myself. I learned how to forgive others. I learned how to let things go. I learned how to grow. We worked the steps together every other Saturday. I went to his house. I played with his dogs. And we sat down for about 2 or 3 hours just talking crap and writing down my steps. And honestly, a great person. I couldn't have asked for anything else at the time. And that came with some costs. That the price was that I needed to attend to meetings. I needed to help the newcomers. I needed to do service and make coffee. I needed to arrive before everyone else and open the meeting. I needed to close the meeting and pick up the chairs and make sure that I was doing my serenity prayer or whatever was kicking, you know, was cool at the time. And, you know, I don't have too much to delve into that, but sponsorship, getting a proper sponsor, you know, the guy has, obviously he has his trauma and he has his personality and character flaws or whatever you want to call it, but, you know, I don't know if I ever believe in miracles, and I fell out of a second floor and somehow survived. But this guy, you know, he was fucking blessing to me. And and a little while later, after working the program, 12 Steps Way, the God Serenity Prayer Way, being a book thumper and telling the newcomers how they needed to pray in the morning and every night. And while still keeping an eye on, you know, cool stuff that caught my attention in the meetings. Because I'm sick, I'm a sick person. You give me some drugs, and maybe if I'm not in recovery anymore, I'll be a shitty person. That's essentially who I am, and I need to come to terms with that. Of course, I'm not doing drugs anymore. But when all this, you know, 3 years ago, all this started, I was 4 years into my recovery, and I decided, like, I don't want to pray in the morning. I don't want to pray in the night. My home situation is still a mess. My mom had this accident when I was six, driving a car, which developed into some sort of spinal deformed spinal cord, So over the years, with all the pressure of her job and taking care of four kids with an absent father most of the time, having to cook for us, having to clean for us, having to take care of us. So over the years, 15 years later, 16 years later, she started developing the spinal cord issues, and that hindered her mobility. Slowly over time, she needed to get surgery. We convinced her to get surgery. So that developed into neurological damage. Just one little accident from 20 years ago, 16 years ago, with the buildup of stress and pressure. And she's slowly been losing her mind. Mental health is not very well. So me, as a 20-something-year-old with a few years in a program, having this person who used to take care of me but also antagonize me and, difficult situations of where my siblings have moved abroad and rest of my family sees me as these demon child who somehow was getting his life together, but I knew what things were real and I knew what things were not. And I knew that sitting down in the morning praying and at night was maybe good for my mental health at some point. But what's even better for me at that point was facing my reality and learning that I have a neurotic, situation with my family, and I have a sick mom that I may or may not take care of. It's an option that's up to me, but I need to face my situations, and praying is not going to solve them. And praying was nice, it consoled me for a while, but and I still recommend that to newcomers. And having to become a man, take care of people around was not something my sponsor could do for me, sadly. So I came into this program, I came into secular AA. I had a few issues with some people for a while. I got kicked out of a bunch of meetings a few times. It's all good though. So it's all in the past. But I don't know, like I'm pretty grateful for I gotten to meet great people here, Megan and Hannah and Edgar, everyone, like here that I know, and Jim, all these people, and Jeb, fucking Jeb, and Mark and Matt. I've met a lot of great people here. I used to go to meetings at like 3 a.m. my time. And there were people there for me in the secular meetings. And they were not trying to tell me about how I need to sit down and pray and how I need to shut up and listen with like 5 years of recovery. And I'm like, these old timers telling me what I need to do in their lives are still a mess. And it's the same because I was doing the same thing to newcomers. And I just accepted that my life is a fucking mess. That I need to deal with situations where they are not going to improve. And I learned it. And I learned the secular approach to the program, which is not believing in this mystical deity, lost parent figure that is going to eventually come back and save us and listen to us, even though, this fucking schizophrenic perspective of spirituality. And I respect religion, I really do, but don't come with that shit to my face, please, because I don't really want to hear it. And I learned it here through the secular way that it's really all about helping each other, but helping each other does not mean fucking each other over, backstabbing each other, shit talking about each other behind our backs. It's not about being deceitful and cunning. It's not about the best share. It's not about talking about God in the coolest way, in the most hip and modern way. Oh, I'm sorry. And it's not about being jealous about someone because they were born in a different life. They had different means to achieve their goals and their ends. And it's about being me and coming to terms with that. Coming to terms with the fact that I was born with a physical disorder, disability. I was born into a very fucked up family. that I was not given a lot of opportunities, and the ones that I was given, I messed them up. And that I was very hardworking and studied very hard. That was not taken into account. So I don't know if you gotta call this learning the hard way, but no, 25, 27 years in. I have about 7 years sober now. It's not perfect. I still think drugs, you know. I'm not gonna be cliche about it, but like if someone is doing drugs and they're enjoying them, I'm happy for them, you know. I just hope they don't have to reach the same bottoms that I did. So I'm pretty open about talking about my bottoms with certain people. Not everyone, because not everyone needs to know. Not everyone needs to know I'm in recovery either. And but I'm very privy about myself and respectful of my own process and how I do things, how I approach situations, and I need to look out for the best of me. And I need to be selfish with my recovery and with myself and with my mental health. But I'm still about giving because when all else granted, you know, the only thing that is always, you know, the only thing that there's like even when I was like really messed up, hidden worst bottoms of my life, like the only thing that was always there for me was giving. Even when, you know, I virtually had nothing to give. And you know, I don't know. I guess I talked about everything that I wanted to talk and growing up is just like I wanted to emphasize on that and how important growing up has been for me. But I think we have, you know, I think I have gone on for long enough and I don't really have anything to share about. I think I covered most of it well enough. So with that, I pass and thank you for dedicating this half an hour to listen to my crap.